Hey, my name's Elaine Ewan, and I actually have recently relocated to Naropa University in Boulder. But I want to acknowledge my co-investigator. In fact, he was the project leader of this, Mike McAllister, who was the chair of the Industrial Design Department at the University of the Arts. So this project, unlike the previous one, is really a pilot study where we're looking at how we could empower people with disabilities. So we have very small ends and everything like that, and mostly qualitative reports on both what we did and as well as our outcomes. But I think it's really exciting what we did. So, okay, these are disclosures. So as everyone well knows that, estimated 12% of the population has a disability. But more importantly, I think people often have unique needs that are not often met by what we might call off-the-shelf products. People have very varied and unique needs, and we kind of saw that in the previous discussion where there's actually a list of maybe what the needs might be. But when you actually, get to people, their needs are often very unusual, unique for them. So these specialized products can be expensive, unaffordable, and especially for persons with disabilities who may not have high levels of income. So we wanted to I was the evaluation person on this project, a low-cost approach to how to address the question, how could we actually empower people with disabilities to kind of both meet their unmet needs, which involves both thinking about design. So this is where my colleague in the design department, design's not just about designing things like iPads or, but also designing processes, thinking what, the inputs are, putting it together, might be a physical thing. In this project, it was using the materials of our physical world, but to really affect people's functioning, and also beyond physical functioning, I think we wanted to think about empowerment, which is more of a point of view or an emotional, kind of thing. So this project was actually sponsored by the Corso Center for the Creative Economy at the University of the Arts. So this was a design project. And what we did is we partnered persons with disabilities with design students in a collaborative environment. So this kind of falls more into what we might say community-based participatory, not research in this case, but design. Actually, they were leading in terms of what would be useful to them. And then the students actually supported their actually making of things, and I'll show you a few things that actually happened from this project. And what we did is we used this, this is the geeky part of the thing that I never had heard of. We used this microcontroller called the Arduino, which I was educated a lot about this myself, which in design environments is an open source, which means the program, anyone can program on it. You actually connect it to a computer, program it. And then it does things like, it's basically a switch, which can turn on and off things. It can also, you can program it so that if you're becoming near something, if you're within, you can program it for any distance, but say, you were backing up your wheelchair, you could program it so that sounds started going off within 2 feet of the wall or something like that. I mean, these are simple, but actually, kind of making things tailor-made for persons with disabilities. So the teams were formed and they applied design skills. There was a class aspect of this where people actually learned about circuits and everything like that, learned about actually programming as well as design, and as well as problem actual design, making of things. And it wasn't a case. I think this was different a little bit. And there have been these participatory design projects where you just interview people, in this case, persons with disabilities, and then you go off and make something after you've talked to them about their needs and specifications. But in this case, it was actually partnering with them, so they learned as well. They learned as well kind of the design infrastructure of what it was. And I think that went, you'll see through some of the comments that I collected through qualitative research, that actually went towards changing their worldview. Okay, so here's a picture of our, I don't think this is everyone on our team, but this is most people on the team. And you can see the design, obviously there's design students and persons with disabilities. I'll talk a little bit about demographics and things like that in a minute. I think I described what's an Arduino. It's a low-cost microprocessor. It's basically input and output in terms of electrics. It's actually been taught at the high school level as well as the college level. I mean, there's a whole do-it-yourself movement that people are very interested in learning and just playing with these kinds of things. So the Arduino is the left hand, it's with a circuit board and everything like that, and the switch. This is Mike's picture, but it's basically a switch that turns things on and off, and you give it parameters about when you want to turn things on and off. So let's see, I think we had a number of objectives. I mentioned some about empowerment and co-design in terms of the persons with disabilities, and to also understand what obstacles might arise when we took on this kind of ambitious project to both teach people with disabilities as well as have them design things. To determine in real time what tools, structures, methods, learning systems might actually improve the learning environment, both for the persons with disabilities as well as for the students. The students learned a lot as well. And so we documented this. You'll see in a moment we have a blog and everything like that. And Mike was, as the person at UArts, he was really interested in making this an educational model for encouraging design citizenship among young designers or young students who are looking out at different populations. How could they help them? So here's Mike teaching. So what we did is we partnered five design students with five people with disabilities, and together they were challenged to learn the basic skills of the Arduino, and again, participatory design. In terms of data collection, this was not, I do a lot of different kinds of data methodology, so obviously this was not a heavy quantitative data kind of collection, but we did do video interviews, we did pre and post surveys, and I'll be showing you a little bit of the comments and results from that, and we interviewed people at the conclusion of the project. So here's our five persons with disabilities, and some of them had some college education, and two had completed high school. So all of them had at least completed high school. They were in general good health. They were all mobile, so they all could come. We had classes at their disability center as well as the University of the Arts. So they all could come independently. And they all were in motorized wheelchairs. And they all reported some familiarity with kind of electronic devices. So they, had cell phones, they used the internet, and they also said they were relatively comfortable or very comfortable with math and science. Actually, Glenda, who is, let me see, she's the next to the last person on the right, Yeah, she had some interesting comments because she was not comfortable with this kind of thing at all. But she actually had an incredible learning curve. And you can see their medical conditions. I'm not going to read through them at the bottom. But they, you know, some of them had lifetime issues. Michael, second one from the left, had a stroke, which impaired him. So, you know, some of them were lifetime conditions. Some of them, like Michael, was, you know, very successful businessman, then he had a stroke, and then he became, you know, impaired. These are our art students. So they were all industrial or multimedia design majors. They were all, I think, undergraduates, and they had varied experience with the Arduino itself, with this kind of techie kind of thing. Most of them had taught before, and part of the motivation for some of them doing this project at all was that they wanted to improve their teaching skills. So they said they were patient or extremely patient. In terms of why they would even want to enter into this project, some of them, three of the five, had either a family member or a friend who was a person with disabilities. So one, his mother was disabled. Some of them had some experience with this. And here's a couple of comments that I collected at the beginning. They wanted to experience the dual challenge of teaching the Arduino, which is fairly technical, and learning what it's like to live with disabilities. So they were inspired in both these ways. And they wanted to see how this creative technology could actually influence the lives of people with disabilities. Let's see, how am I doing? 5 minutes? Okay, here, let me go. Okay, so I mentioned a bunch of surveys. Here's our blog, in that red. So as you might imagine, the project evolved from people becoming more familiar with personal space, learning about electronics. the UART students actually, in their exit interviews, they increased their skill in teaching as well as their knowledge of and advocacy for persons with disabilities. So there was some understanding and empathy that they developed. Developed this. This project went over about 3 months over the summer and included many close relationships were formed. The kids actually visited people's apartments and things like that. And so here's a few comments. I'm not going to read through all of them, but one of the UART students was pleased to see how people were grabbing the ideas. They thought maybe this would be too much for people with disabilities, and they were pleasantly surprised to say that the persons with disabilities were actually very interested in learning about this work. And then, of course, there was the aspect of empathy, and they were very happy in terms of their designing, which is actually figuring out processes to help these populations. They were very happy to work engaged in that process. So here's just a picture of one of the final projects, which was having a switch when you rolled your wheelchair over these bars that were going to be installed in Brandon's apartment. That the lights would turn on. This is an example of the kind of project that was completed. Another project was a turn signal for Glenda's wheelchair. So these are very custom things. The Liberty participants, the persons with disabilities, really had a great time, and it was obviously better than they expected. The second comments from Glenda, she says, it's better than I expected. She's not a hands-on mechanical person, but she was actually, by the end of the project, she was very engaged with actually the problem-solving aspect of this project. We actually encouraged the persons with disabilities to think about how they might approach and solve a problem as well. So here's just some pictures. We have tons, there's like thousands of pictures. A couple of the participants actually mentioned they thought it improved their cognitive processes. And of course, we didn't have, you know, enough N to really look at this. This is all just qualitative reported research. This is another comment from Glenda. I'm a little bit more aware of how things work. When things break, I tend to take them apart. Small things, not big, like a toaster. And before, she said she wouldn't have even done this. So I think there was some empowerment in terms of curiosity, in terms of how, you know, how their world works. This was another project. Michael, who was paralyzed on one side, we designed a switch that could activate a camera. So there was the stand for the camera, and the switch could activate it by him, his leg, you know, activating it on the side, as you can see in the upper left-hand picture. Liberty participants commented on their increased independence and confidence, as well as an appreciation of the knowledge that they gained. So another comment, I'm not as slow as my kids think I am. My kids think they have to do everything for me, but they don't. I keep trying to tell them that. I'd rather do stuff for myself, but they think they have to do everything for me. But they don't know I'm looking for an apartment. Because she lived with her children, trying to find me an apartment so I can leave my house. And I asked her, do you think you could do that? And she said, I am going to do that. So there was just this whole wonderful aspect of actually seeing both the students and the participants, you know, the Liberty participants with disabilities, kind of grow and change together. So that's the main thing I wanted to talk about. This is another project which was turning lights, making a switch that could turn lights off from the bed for one of the persons with disabilities. And obviously she customized it with her own painting and things like that. This was shown as an exhibit at the Philadelphia Center for Architecture, you know, as part of the Corso Center for the Arts. And this is just a picture of Michael, one of our participants, looking at all, going through the exhibit. So the only kind of concerns or next steps that we thought about in this project was obviously scale. The components were actually difficult for some of the, you know, these are small things to handle and hard to see. There were things like workspace. Many of the persons with disabilities had to work in their laps, or they might only be able to use one hand. So there were certain limitations there. So this project is continuing through this fall. We're doing another round of it as a pilot. So thank you. Thank you very much.